I'm Eric Rosales. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, stopped in its tracks. Amid concerns over safety, a joint U.S. and Israeli operation halts distribution of aid to Palestinians. We have the latest. Man of Steel. President Trump hikes tariffs on some of the most crucial metals used in the United States. We're at the White House. On the move, President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill makes its way through the Senate amid backlash from Elon Musk. Plus, weight room. Pope Leo XIV reminds the faithful that God is always ready to hear from us. These stories and much more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you so much for being with us on the feast day of St. Francis Gaticciola, our top story tonight. Growing concern in the Middle East. Today in an interview, the president of the International Committee of the Red Cross described the situation in Gaza as worse than hell on earth. Several times this week, violence broke out at aid distribution centers in Gaza, leading to a 24-hour pause in operations. And today we learn that the Popemobile donated by Pope Francis has been blocked from entering Gaza. It was converted into a medical clinic to help Palestinian children, but ongoing border restrictions have kept it out of the region. Joining us now is Steve Dorsey from the International Committee of the Red Cross. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. On a recent interview with the BBC, your president didn't mince any words, calling the situation in Gaza, quote, worse than hell on earth. Can you describe the scene for us there?
Well, for the people, Eric, living and coping and struggling to survive in Gaza, along with our team working in our field hospital in Rafah, it is worse than hell on earth. Just yesterday, we had the largest number of weapon-wounded patients in a single mass casualty incident we've seen since this hospital has been operational in southern Gaza over the last year. 184 people rushed to get some kind of medical treatment at our facility. Our capacity is only 60 beds. And it overwhelmed our team. Many of them were dead on arrival. Others suffered from gunshot wounds. It is the latest illustration of the desperation to access relief, aid, medical care, food, or stay put in a very dangerous situation for them and their families, too, including women and children.
You mentioned that field hospital in Rafah. It's the closest medical facility to anything in the area where many Palestinians have been killed during the chaotic aid distribution in the last few days. Now, the site is run by the Israel and U.S.-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, and you mentioned that in a span of 1 week, staff there at the Red Cross Field Hospital have responded to five mass casualty incidents, and this is highly unusual, isn't it?
Certainly, death, destruction is not unusual since October 7th in Gaza.
Right.
But the amount of patients with wounds, shrapnel wounds, gunshot wounds, all at once is. And we're entering a very new, dangerous time for humanitarians and for civilians in Gaza, where the North has little to no access to any kind of humanitarian relief. A lot of this is concentrated in the South, where folks are still struggling to get the help that they need. I can tell you that because of limited supplies and access, we've had to shut down the majority of our communal kitchens that feed thousands a day. We started at 15. We're down to just a handful now. So the situation is really unbearable, and we're at a breaking point.
And the aid distribution operations have been paused for 24 hours due to the violence. And when they open back up, do you think that order will prevail or will the violence continue again?
We hope that civilians, A, get the kind of relief that they need. That includes the existing systems we already have in place. We know that our infrastructure systems for Gaza are safe. And we hope that civilians can access the care that they need. Regardless, we're there to focus on responding to the people that need us the most. That's treating the wounded. That's rebuilding sanitation and water systems. And, of course, getting them the most amount of food that we can get them.
Well, Steve Dorsey, thank you so much for joining us with the International Committee of the Red Cross. God bless you.
Thank you, Eric.
President Donald Trump says that he spoke on the phone today with Russian President Vladimir Putin for about an hour. The president said the conversation will not lead to immediate peace. And he added, in part, quote, that President Putin did say that, very strongly said, that he will have to respond to the recent attacks on his airfield. This comes as Russian forces launched an overnight drone attack on Kharkiv. A car shop and even a home caught fire. Other attacks hit Odessa and Sumy. 10 homes and other buildings were destroyed. The attack took place after Ukraine was hit by nearly 100 drones. And folks, listen to this. The Holy See press office says that Pope Leo XIV also spoke today with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The phone conversation focused on the war in Ukraine and humanitarian aid. The Holy Father also further encouraged a path toward peace. We hope that happens. On that note, Pope Leo XIV reminds the faithful that God always waits with open arms, no matter how late we are in responding to his call.
C'è sempre la possibilità di trovare un senso, perché Dio ama la nostra vita.
At his weekly talk, the Holy Father addressed young people, saying that if they are seeking their meaning in life, God will offer it to them and never disappoint. The Pope also stressed that the Lord is always ready to accept us and give meaning and hope in our lives, however hopeless our situation may seem and however insignificant our merits may appear. In his first monthly prayer intention of his papacy, the Holy Father invites the faithful to learn compassion from the heart of Jesus.
Let us pray that each one of us might find consolation in a personal relationship with Jesus and from his heart learn to have compassion on the world.
The video presents an original prayer to the Sacred Heart. The prayer asks Christ to help us know him better, that we might remain with him and learn from his love. The church has traditionally dedicated the entire month of June to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Pope Leo also met with members of the National Italian American Foundation at the Vatican.
A hallmark of many who immigrated to the United States from Italy was their Catholic faith, with its rich traditions of popular piety and devotions that they continued to practice in their new nation.
This faith sustained them in difficult moments.
The group is one of the largest associations representing Italian Americans here in the U.S. Members even brought a hat from the Holy Father's alma mater, Villanova University. Well, back here in Washington, D.C., President Donald Trump followed through on his promise to raise foreign steel and aluminum tariffs. He believes that it'll protect American jobs, but it could also raise prices here in the U.S., since the metals go into everything from cars to soup cans. Let's check in with White House correspondent Owen Jensen. Owen.
Eric, this represents a brand new chapter in the international trade war, and a lot of money is at stake.
Steel workers in Pittsburgh cheered Friday when President Donald Trump announced he would jack up the price of foreign steel and aluminum imports.
Congratulations to everybody and to you for making a great deal.
In his new proclamation, President Trump writes, the increased tariffs will more effectively counter foreign countries that continue to offload low-priced excess steel and aluminum in the United States. However, steel and aluminum from the UK is the exception. British imports of these metals are still levied at 25% due to a recent trade deal reached between the two countries. The U.S. is also trying to strike a trade deal with the European Union. Ambassador Jameson Greer met with his counterparts in Paris today. He says negotiations are advancing quickly and show a willingness by the EU to work with us to find a concrete way forward to achieve reciprocal trade. But the EU says the new steel and aluminum tariffs are a step in the wrong direction.
We strongly regret this latest U.S. decision, and I explained to him that it clearly doesn't help the ongoing negotiations, especially as we are making progress.
President Trump's 90-day pause on other reciprocal tariffs is set to end July 9th. Some experts question whether he can secure numerous trade agreements before then.
Well, the challenge here is, of course, that it is not easy to just quickly make a trade deal. The trade deals are not only about the tariffs on goods. It's also about non-tariff barriers. It's also services.
In the meantime, one trade group predicts a global slowdown.
It's quite important that countries get together, see what are their grievances against each other, and get an agreement to lower trade barriers.
President Trump also posted on Truth Social that President Xi of China is extremely hard to make a deal with. And he once again urged Fed Chair Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you so much, Owen. Well, the White House has also sent its first list of DOGE spending cuts to Congress. The Department of Government Efficiency was until recently headed by Elon Musk. Now, this package wants to get back more than $9 billion in federal spending already appropriated by Congress. Republican lawmakers are cheering.
I'm glad we're seeing rescission packages. So I'm going through the bill. I clearly support the what DOGE is doing. I support reducing spending. So this is an opportunity to do that.
The $9.4 billion package rescinds $8.3 billion in foreign aid, mostly from USAID, eliminates funds from UNICEF and other UN programs, cuts $9 million from the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief, and cuts $1.1 billion from public broadcasting. At a news conference, House Speaker Mike Johnson zeroed in on the cuts to public broadcasting.
PBS produced a movie titled Real Boy, which celebrates a transgender teen's transition. This is all with taxpayer dollars. PBS has featured drag queens in programming for little kids. There is no reason for any media organization to be singled out to receive federal funds.
Democratic Senator John Fetterman had this reaction.
But it is so undeniable that NPR is incredibly, incredibly left and very democratic. I mean, they can't pretend that it's actually not a strong, strong left bias, of course. Now, that's not to say they need to cut them or to destroy it.
And Democrats also attacked the cuts to foreign aid programs such as PEPFAR, created in 2003 by former President George W. Bush at the height of the AIDS epidemic. Republicans say PEPFAR supports abortion overseas.
Taking the extreme position of blocking this life-saving program is as short-sighted and nihilistic as siding with Vladimir Putin and failing to help Ukraine.
These were total waste, fraud, and abuse type of dollars, but this is just the start. DOGE has come up with $175 billion of similar evidence of waste, fraud, and abuse.
Some Republicans want Congress to act now.
No excuses. No delays. We must vote on the DOGE cuts this week.
Republican leaders say that they'll take up this package next week. Congress will have 45 days to consider the proposal, which could pass by a simple majority, both in the House and the Senate. The White House says even more spending cut proposals could come over the summer. Also back here over on the House side, House Speaker Mike Johnson responded to criticism about the Big Beautiful Bill by Elon Musk.
I don't take it personal. We don't take it personal. You know, policy differences are not personal. I think he's flat wrong. I think he's way off on this, and I've told him as much, and I've said it publicly and privately. I'm very consistent in that.
Well, this comes after Musk criticized the legislation filled with President Trump's domestic policies. He called it, quote, a disgusting abomination. Well, we still have a lot more to come on EWTN News Nightly. Stalled in the legislature. One state bill would have legalized assisted suicide. Well, it's come to a halt. I'll tell you where and why. Plus, a new initiative to spark vocations. What the Archdiocese of New York is doing to attract more men to the priesthood. A bill which would have legalized assisted suicide is stalled in the Illinois state legislature. The bill was not called for a vote in the Senate before the legislature adjourned on June 1st. The measure would have made it legal for physicians to give terminally ill patients life-ending drugs. Doctors would even give death certificates stating that the cause of death was due to illness and not to suicide. Right now, physician-assisted suicide remains criminal in the state. And the Food and Drug Administration says that it will conduct a review of the abortion drug mifepristone. The news comes after several recent studies challenged the drug's safety. The FDA commissioner says that he is committed to conducting the review. Last month, the report said more than 1 in 10 women who undergo a chemical abortion experienced adverse side effects. The Trump administration also revoked the guidance of U.S. hospitals requiring hospitals to provide emergency abortions when necessary. The guidelines were imposed by the Biden administration back in 2022. It was an effort by President Biden to preserve abortion just weeks after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Pro-lifers are applauding the news. The Catholic Medical Association says in part, quote, emergency medical physicians and others who treat pregnant women in crisis should not be forced to end an unborn life by governmental mandate. And joining us now to discuss more about the HHS new policy is Dr. Tim Millay, chair of the Catholic Medical Association Healthcare Policy Committee. Dr. Millay, thank you so much for joining us. Give us your thoughts about the HHS rescinding the Biden-era guidance that attempted to force emergency room workers to carry out induced abortions.
Well, thank you for having this opportunity to talk about this, Eric. It is really good news. We have returned back to we are turning back to medicine that is not just more morally based and ethically based, but is practiced the way that it should be practiced. The EMTALA Act goes back nearly 40 years, Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. And in the text of that original act from 39 years ago, the word abortion is not there. Right. But what it does say in when it comes to women in labor, women with pregnancy-related complications, you are to treat the pregnant woman and the unborn child, both of them. What the Biden administration did, they read into this that an abortion was stabilizing care. You don't have to do an abortion to stabilize a woman in crisis, a pregnant woman in crisis. Instead of calling it what it really is, which is life-ending care.
Right.
It's not stabilizing anything. So this dropping this case, a similar case in Idaho back in March was dropped. This is all good news and really just reinforces what we're trying to promote, which is taking care of every life from conception to natural death as it should be.
Well, doctor, we've heard so much from the other side. You know, they've given scenarios that if a pregnancy could kill both the mother, you know, how do you manage saving the baby and the mother at the same time? We've heard of stories of expectant mothers hemorrhaging or even dying of sepsis. You know, how do you balance that from a Catholic viewpoint?
Well, the way that it's been managed prior to the Biden administration was working well, and it will work well now that this is no longer an issue that we have to deal with. When pregnancy complications occur, the solution to those complications is not an abortion. It's to treat the mother. It's to treat the child. And when I have discussions with those on the other side of this issue, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, I'll admit, but I'll tell them, if you really have questions about what to do in these situations, call a pro-life doctor.
Right.
They know exactly what to do. They know how to manage this. They've been doing it. And this put the onus on doctors in the emergency rooms, but specifically with this EMTALA claim. But that is, they've managed these complications as well related to pregnancy. So this is a very, very welcome development.
And doctor, I also want to get your thoughts about the Food and Drug Administration. It's conducting a review of the abortion drug mifepristone, you know. Many don't know that this drug was pushed through during the Clinton administration, and it's fair to say that there's still an ongoing debate over its safety. According to the FDA, there have been 26 reported deaths in the United States from mifepristone since it was approved in 2000, but a lot more may have taken place, correct? Because they didn't keep track of it.
That's exactly right. This is equally welcome news as well, because the data that was released a few weeks ago by Ethics and Public Policy Center, a deep dive into hundreds of thousands of claims revealing the complication rate with chemical abortions. We're talking complications that bring the woman to the emergency room are more than 20 times higher than what the FDA data currently says. So kudos to the FDA for reviewing this, because the guidance is very, very poor and women are at risk because of this.
Well, we'll leave it right there. Dr. Tim Millay, chair of the Catholic Medical Association Healthcare Policy Committee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Eric, very much.
6 months after the country was plunged into chaos under martial law, South Korea has a new president. Lee Jae-myung has already started his term, foregoing the two-month transition period. He is filling the hole left by the impeachment of South Korea's first leader. Lee inherits a country struggling to revive the economy, which has been made worse by President Trump's tariffs. Well, up next on EWTN News Nightly, sending out the call. What one archdiocese is doing to attract more men to the priesthood. Plus, a new film recounts the story of the American exorcism. We spoke to one of the stars. The Archdiocese of New York is launching a new initiative to rekindle vocations to the priesthood. Called by Name invites parishioners across the city to fill out pamphlets or even use a QR code to nominate young men that they believe might be called to the priesthood. Each nominee will then receive a personal letter from Cardinal Timothy Dolan inviting them to a dinner in August. So far, more than 250 names have been submitted. This comes as the Archdiocese has seen a sharp decline in ordinations in recent decades. Pope Leo XIV has selected a new head of the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Auxiliary Bishop Mark Ekman will take on the role of bishop moving forward. Ekman was born in Pittsburgh and has served various roles in parishes and schools in the diocese. His episcopal motto, to serve in faith and charity. Ekman succeeds Bishop David Zubik after Pope Leo accepted his resignation. Zubik spent his entire career in the diocese, which serves almost 629,000 Catholics in southwestern corner of Pennsylvania. And finally tonight, a new movie tells the true story of a 1928 exorcism of a woman in Iowa.
Brethren, put on the armor of God that you might withstand the devil.
The Ritual stars Al Pacino, Dan Stevens, Ashley Green, and Patricia Heaton as Mother Superior. It tells a story of two priests who work together to try and save a young woman's soul. The movie opens nationwide on Friday. And for more, we turn to Patricia Heaton, Catholic actress who plays Mother Superior in The Ritual. Patricia, thank you so much for being with us. First off, how did you hear about the exorcism in Iowa in 1928, and why did you want to be involved with this movie?
Well, I got the script from my manager, and that's when I first heard of the story. And I happened to be talking to one of my sisters about it. And I said, it's based on this true exorcism that happened, I think, Wisconsin in the 20s. And she said to me, is the exorcist name Father Theophilus? And I said, yeah, how would you know that? And she said, because I have two copies of the book he wrote about. It's staring me from my from my bookshelf.
And tell us more about your character, Mother Superior. I mean, did you have to channel some parochial school for this? Memories?
Well, my sister's a Dominican nun, so I'm familiar with the life in the order. I visit her often because we're both in Nashville. And but my character, my Mother Superior, is of Polish descent. So it added an interesting flavor to her and thinking about her background. And so it was really interesting, and to have to, you know, have some lines in Polish as I'm admonishing the demon. Wow. Was really great. It took me a while to memorize just a few lines in Polish, because there's very few vowels in the Polish language.
Didn't know that.
Y's and Z's. Yeah. So, but it was great, and it was a great experience. And, you know, just to be able to work with Al Pacino was a real bucket list event that I didn't know I would have in my lifetime.
Well, I tell you, did you learn anything new about your Catholic faith while working on this movie?
Well, a good friend of mine in Nashville is Father Dan Rehill, who's our diocesan exorcist, and he covers about, I think, five counties. So I kind of had learned a lot from him about it. And, you know, generally speaking, I'm just, you know, into, as a Catholic, that's part of our culture, right?
Yes, it is.
It's not strange to us that this happens. And so I thought it was a good time right now in what we're experiencing with a lot of violence and upheaval in our world, to remind people that there is evil in the world, of that it's a supernatural fight that we're fighting here.
Right. There definitely is a battle between good and evil here on this earth. And
yeah.
There have been so many books and movies written about exorcism, including the 1973 movie called The Exorcist. And how is the ritual different from many of these other movies?
You know, it's a smaller, grittier film. It's not a sensationalist film. But I mean, The Exorcist was an incredible movie. I'm not putting it down. But this is just, you know, sort of a, it gives it an intensity because it doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles.
Well, I tell you, thank you so much for joining us. Patricia Heaton, starring in the upcoming movie, The Ritual, about the exorcism in 1928 in Iowa. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Again, it opens up on Friday nationwide. We want to thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Eric Rosales. Have a good night. Y vaya con Dios.